Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. My Client Curly was written by Radio Poet Laureate Norman Corwin. Here's the Chicago gang who recorded it for Art Lexington in Kentucky.
Tonight we present the original radio version of My Client Curly, adapted by Norman Corwin from a short story by Lucille Fletcher Herman. One thought, ladies and gentlemen, in the play about to unfold, any similarity to actual caterpillars, living or dead, is purely coincidental.
There are some things a man just doesn't like to talk about because I'm just going to tell you the story about my client Curly, and then I'll go back to the agent business and try to forget it. But if I should get a lump in my throat when I'm telling it, I hope you'll understand, because this whole thing was so recent, I still feel pretty upset about it. Well, to make a long story short, I'm out walking one day in the suburbs where I live when my attention is attracted to a couple of kids sitting on the side of the road. One of them is playing a harmonica, and they're bent over, and they're watching something on the ground. And, I being curious, I go over to see what it is. Hey, hi, boys, what do you got there?
Huh? We got a trained caterpillar.
What's trained about it?
Well, he dances.
I don't believe
it. Well, he sure does.
Give us a quarter and we'll show you.
Oh, a racket, eh? All right, I'm a sucker. Here are two quarters.
Thanks, mister. Okay, play Stinky.
What do you know? Okay, now stop. Well, I'll be darned. He stops when you do.
Sure, that's the way Stinky trained him, didn't you, Stinky?
It was nothing.
Now, come on, play some more, Stinky. Come on. He lies right down when you're finished.
Well, he's got talent, doesn't he? Hey, Curly, come on, cut my finger. Come on. Attaboy.
Does Curly dance to any kind of music?
Nope. Only, yes, sir, that's my baby.
You mean to tell me he dances to only one tune?
That's right. I tried a lot of others, but I guess he only likes that one.
Well, why is that, do you suppose?
I don't know. Maybe he's got a musical ear.
I guess that's what those two branches are on his head, huh? Musical ears?
No, that's his antenna.
Antenna? He ain't no radio.
Now, say.
What?
I wonder if he's got any... Hey, I bet he's got that snake blood in him. You know, there are some snakes that dance.
No kidding?
Yeah. Now, here's Stinky. Let me take your harmonica a minute.
Okay, sure.
Now, Curly may be related to one of them Asiatic snakes or something. Now, let me play it a minute. Nope, won't budge. I guess it's an American caterpillar, all right.
Oh, sure.
Now, look, fellas, I'm going to make you a proposition. How would you like to sell Curly?
How much?
Wait a minute. I own Curly. I don't want to sell him.
Why not, Stinky?
Well, because because.
You know why you don't want to sell?
Why?
On account of he's stuck on him.
Just shut up, fatso.
You mean you love Curly so much you don't want to play?
I don't want to sell him, that's all. Not even for $5. Not even for $2.
Well, of course, I don't think anyone would ever offer you that much money.
And I don't care. He's my pet, and I want to keep him. I train
him.
Now,
look, kiddo. I think you're a very bright boy, very sensitive, and because of that, I'm going to make you an immediate cash payment of $10 for Curly.
$10? Holy mackerel. Stinky, what do you say?
Oh, well, gosh, I don't know.
Well, take it, I'm telling you.
Well, that's a lot of money, but I like Curly. And I guess he likes me, too, and when we're alone, I talk to him, and he understands me. Curly likes me around. He's very smart, even though he doesn't look it.
Oh, he looks smart, all right.
You know, if somebody took him away from me, Curly would die.
You think so?
Sure. I mean, he's only human, right? He would absolutely die.
Now, listen to me, Stinky. I'm going to talk to you man to man. This caterpillar is very valuable. He's worth a lot of money, a lot more than $10.
No kidding?
Yeah. Now, this is what we're going to do. Stinky, you're going to stay with Curly, and I'm going to manage both of you. Curly will be my client.
What's that mean?
Yeah, what's a client?
Well, you probably wouldn't understand this stuff. That's something I'll have to explain to your parents, because I'm going to have to get their signatures on a long-term contract with options. And, well, but anyways, you're a minor under the law, you see.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong, did I?
Well, that's how it began. I get Curly under my management and take him and Stinky with me. And the first thing I do is start out after some publicity. And, oh, do those reporters eat it up. Oh, front page with pictures. Pictures of Curly and pictures of Stinky and pictures of me and pictures of my client dancing on a leaf, curling around the mayor's finger, climbing up a gorgeous model's leg, oh, sitting in a tiny box at the opera, and headlines like the New York Times.
Singing caterpillar sways to the strains of Yes, Sir, That's My Baby. Fred Astaire of Insect World demonstrates almost human sense of rhythm.
The Post.
Curly in custody of Stinky. Young Svengali of Caterpillars.
The Brooklyn Eagle.
Insect dancer learned to truck and truck garden manager says.
The World Telegram.
The Curly Crawl becomes new national dance sensation.
The Daily News.
Bug cuts rug. Story on page 2.
And sure enough, with all that publicity, things really begin to happen. Well, first, Bill Robinson introduces the Curly Capers at the Cotton Club. Then Raymond Scott writes a song called The Caterpillar Creep. Then a half a dozen agencies bid for the rights to syndicate a comic strip about Curly.
429 papers, 5 days a week, making a grand total of...
Oh, other companies pay me royalties for Curly balloons and spaghetti and dolls and toys and picture books and decorations on the middle of drinking glasses.
Ma, buy me a glass with Curly's picture on it.
And to make a long story short, I get a vaudeville offer. Oh, the money begins to roll in, so I rent an expensive suite of offices and hire a secretary.
Curly Enterprises, good afternoon.
I buy Stinky a bike and a nice new suit.
Oh, boy, thanks.
And the publicity begins to pile up, and at the height of the excitement, I get a wire from Hollywood.
Offer $10,000 for Curly's appearance in feature-length cartoon. Proposed using live character for first time among cartoon characters. Appreciate immediate answer. Would like to rush story and production. Cordially, Walt Disney.
Miss Nielsen.
Yes, sir.
Take a wire to Walt Disney, Hollywood, California.
Yes, sir.
Dear Walt, Curly price, $100,000.
Is that all?
Well, do you think I should ask for more?
No. I mean, is there more to the telegram? Curly Enterprises, just a moment, please. Time Magazine on the line. Will you take it on the table phone?
Okay, all right. Hello. Yes. Yes.
Curly Enterprises?
Yes.
Well, he's tied up on another line.
You see, I discovered him in the
first position. Oh, yes. He wants you to order a special daily shipment of willow leaves from Florida.
Sure.
Could you hold a minute?
I keep them right.
Curly Enterprises, may I put you on hold? I'll get right back to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes. Please send those leaves next day delivery.
We tried all kinds of tunes.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Now, how can I help you?
No. Any more questions?
Wait a minute, will you please? Boss, you better hire some more secretaries.
Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir.
Well, things are going just great, and Curly is making us a bundle of dough when all of a sudden I get some visitors I didn't count on.
Well, we've been reading about your wonderful specimen in the papers, and we've come to ask to examine it.
Examine Curly? What for?
We are lepidopterists.
But Curly's a caterpillar, not a leopard.
Ah, no, my dear man. Lepidopterology is a branch of entomology, with the insect order of which your, shall we say, client is a member.
Well, now, first, I'm pretty sure Curly isn't a member of any organization, and secondly, that he doesn't want to be examined by anybody.
Oh, come, come, sir. If this caterpillar is as remarkable as the media says, then you certainly owe science the courtesy of permitting an examination.
Exactly.
Well, if you want to put it that way, I suppose.
It will take no more than 2 minutes.
Ah, well, I guess it's all right. Come on this way, please. Hey, hello, Stinky.
Hello?
Ladies, this is Stinky, the discoverer and trainer of my client. He guards Curly all the time.
Oh, and you...
Hi.
And there he is in that box. And now, please, be careful how you handle him.
Muscular little fellow, isn't he?
Normal mandible, unusually conspicuous first maxilla.
Oh, watch out there, Doctor. He's trying to bite you.
Never been attacked by a caterpillar before. Oh, look here, Doctor. Notice the remarkable elongation of the abdominal feet.
Yes, yes, and doesn't this feature make you think of the Anglais antiopa?
Incredible!
Remarkable. I've never seen such a specimen except in the Melanargia Galathea. And the chitization, my.
No kidding!
Sir?
Yes?
Congratulations. This is a remarkable specimen. I can say that even before we test its reactions to musical stimuli.
Oh, gosh, thanks.
But, we ask you to consider the specimen would be much more valuable to society if instead of exhibiting it you were to, lend it.
Or donate it.
Donate it to the Museum of Natural History, where it would be further studied by the leading entomologists of the world.
Now, wait, just one...
And yes, and when it dies, we can dissect it.
No. Did I ever take him away? Don't let him take Curly away. Come on, please. Don't take him. Don't take Curly.
Now. Don't cry, son. We're not going to hurt him.
An insect like this occurs probably once in a million years, and surely for the sake of a few dollars, you're not going to risk injuring him by overwork.
Well, are you accusing me of sacrificing Curly's health for profits? Why, that is ridiculous. Curly is... come on in.
Just got another wire from the coast. Disney's raised the offer to $20,000.
Tell him $100,000 or nothing. Well, the papers get a hold of the Lepidopterus story, and there's another pile of publicity. It gets to be a moral issue, with preachers delivering sermons and like that. Editorials attack me for exploiting caterpillar labor.
Shameless exploitation of a little unsuspecting insect by a mercenary agent who has turned to his own greedy personal advantage, a natural phenomenon which belongs nowhere else but in a museum. The public should be ashamed, too, for encouraging this slave trader to continue his career of rank exhibitionism.
But on the other hand, I am defended as an individualist who refuses to submit to regimentation.
A man owns a clever bug. He has the right to manage that bug. There is no question about his status as manager of that bug. Yet, he is asked to release his client for scientific purposes. He refuses. He has a right to refuse. Nobody denies that right. Yet, he is attacked because he insists on his constitutional guarantees. We wish him well. We stand behind him, four square, our feet firmly planted on the soil from which the bug has sprung.
The American Legion sends Curly an engraved silver-plated twig and miniature flag to put on top of his box. Foreign correspondents get busy and cable stories to their papers. Now, in Madrid, the Spanish Gráfico comes out with a dirty dig, I thought.
Mas los norteamericanos no deben olvidar que la danza española es la mejor de todos. Y quise la augura del señor Stinky tuviesen un poquito de buen odio para la música. Reconociera las irresistibles ritmos de la jota y no se limitaría a tocar Yes, sir, that's my baby. Es un insult a los países latinos que ese insecto...
How do you like that for noise, huh? Well, darn if the curly motif ain't reflected, as they say, in the latest Paris fashions. Caterpillar doodads on hats and coats and scarves and like that. Le Temps, that's a newspaper in Paris, comes out with a great plug.
Tout ce qui aime la nature, de même que ceux qui s'intéressent aux aspects les plus subtils de la danse et de la musique, se réjouiront avec notre république sœur, les États-Unis, de la découverte faite récemment par un garçon qui s'appelle Stinky. Et c'est remarquable de constater que cet insecte ne consent à danser que si l'angulaire justement célèbre « Oui, monsieur, c'est mon bébé ».
And you know what? Ah. My clipping service sends me some encouraging comment from Shanghai, which I get a gal who owns the Chinese restaurant on my block to translate.
Oh, most beautiful and talented insect. Okay? A very valuable to country. To many people, I give great pressure. It's so interesting and magical. We hope our race continue praise nation with clever and valley dance caterpillar.
The Maharaja of Lahore sends Curly some willow leaves from the sacred willow tree of the temple, mind you.
Oh, gee, look. Look, a package from a place named Lake Shore with a lot of funny-looking stamps.
No, Lahore, not Lake Shore.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Can I have the stamps?
Yeah, here you are. I signed Curly up for a super special movie short, and it sweeps the box office of the country in spite of terrible weather, including blizzards and rainstorms. Well, Variety reports.
Blizz and drills fail to bizzle biz as Bug Biff's box off from NY to LA.
Life magazine runs a picture of Curly on the cover with the caption,
Curly.
CBS does a pickup direct from Curly's box, broadcasting the sound of Curly eating dinner.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are here at the headquarters of Curly Enterprises, where we have a microphone buried among the willow leaves to pick up the sound of the world's leading insect dancer, busy eating after a hard day's work.
Now, Walt Disney raises his bid to $50,000, but I still hold out. Grover Whalen invites Curly to do an English country dance at the World's Fair. Well, everything's just going hunky-dory until one day some more public-spirited citizens get a hold of Curly. Only this time they're not scientists, they're musicians.
So, sir, in the interests of music, we of the committee feel that you would be rendering an invaluable service if you would permit us to test the effects of classical music on your client.
But what good would that do anybody?
Why, it may open up an entirely new field of psychology in relation to music. The world knows very little about musical instincts in animals, and nothing at all about insects.
But you're wasting your time. Curly dances to only one tune.
Have you tried other tunes?
Sure. Tell them what you've played, Stinky.
Oh, okay, I played It Ain't Gonna Rain No More, My Country Tis of Thee, The Beer Barrel Polka, Shine on Harvest Moon, Music Goes Round and Around.
But no classical music.
Oh, sure we did. I myself played Ah, Sweet Mystery of Life by Victor Herbert.
But you haven't tried any symphonies, have you?
Well, Disney's trying to get us for a silly symphony right now in his latest offer.
I'm afraid you don't understand. Let me explain what we propose to do. We get Curly in a studio with an orchestra and go through a series of tests using selected symphonic music of dance-like tempi. Now, by the choice of representative works, we can quickly establish that...
All right. I know you're tired, ladies and gentlemen. We've now been through 67 pieces, but let's try a few more and then we'll quit until tomorrow.
Has the caterpillar moved at all?
So far he hasn't budged, but maybe we'll get him with this. Oh, stop. All right, try another piece. Oh, stop. Please. All right, let's play something else.
Well, for about 2.5 days this went on, and finally, after 203 tries, something happened that really made the media sit up and take notice all over again.
Curly, the Terpsichorean caterpillar, today staggered scientists and musicians when he suddenly went into a stately dance upon hearing the simple, yet beautiful, minuet for flute and oboe from Don Giovanni by Mozart. This was the 203rd musical sampling performed in an effort to determine whether the super caterpillar would, or could, dance to anything besides, "Yes, sir, that's my baby." The insect further astonished observers by dancing in a contrapuntal manner. Meanwhile, the management of the caterpillar announced that Curly will appear as the lead in a ballet entitled Extravaganza for Insects Only, and that Curly will also be seen soon in a dance recital at Carnegie Hall.
Well, then things really break for us. Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt writes about Curly in her column.
It is not often that a creature smaller than one's little finger can completely captivate the imagination of millions. Yet such is the remarkable truth about the caterpillar named Curly. And only today I was telling the president that it has been many years since the country has become interested in insects.
And there's talk among stamp collectors about a special Curly stamp being issued.
Since the Curly stamp would be the only insect subject in the history of the Postal Service, its value to philately would assume prodigious proportions to stamp collectors everywhere.
Scientific societies offer to investigate Curly's genius, and would you believe that the annual convention of the American Lepidological and Entomological Academy even invites Stinky to a lecture, and he's the speaker?
So I says to my mom, "Hey, Ma, can I have a penny? I want to buy a piece of candy." And she says, "Yeah." So she gives me the penny, and I'm on the way to the store, there, and I see a caterpillar. So I pick it up, and I started to whistle, "Yes, sir, that's my baby."
And all this time, the money just keeps rolling in. Well, and we're getting along fine, although it's expensive to keep up a suite of offices and a staff of secretaries. And I'm figuring on getting the big dough from Disney, the $100,000, and then retiring. Well, to make a long story short, there are a few exchanges and telegrams and phone calls with me holding out for my price. And then one night, Disney wires.
"We'll meet your price of $100,000. Please fly out with Curly next plane."
Wow, am I excited? Oh, I rush into the next room where Stinky and Curly are sleeping. Stinky, wake up, we're rich, we're practically millionaires."
Huh? What's the matter?
Come on, kiddo, hurry. You and me and Curly are going to take a long airplane ride, and I'm going to buy Curly the juiciest willow leaf he ever ate in his life. Now, let me tell the news to Curly. Where is he? Why isn't he in the box? Where is he? Curly?
I put him in the bed, all right. Ain't he in his box?
Now, quick, look around the room. Under the carpet, under the bed, on the walls, everywhere. Oh, be careful where you walk.
Curly, hey, come back, Curly. Curly, where are you? Yeah, Curly, listen. Hey, yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir,
that's my baby now.
Curly, I love you. Where are you?
$100,000 Curly. Oh, Stinky. Stinky, take this flashlight and look from along the corridor and ask the manager to let you look at the bottom of the elevator shaft. I'm going to call the police.
Okay.
Operator, give me the police headquarters.
Calling all cars. Be on the lookout for a dancing caterpillar. That is all.
Flash, the FBI will neither confirm nor deny rumors that Curly, the $100,000 dancing caterpillar, was kidnapped.
This word just in. We have been requested by civic authorities to make the following announcement. Whenever you hear the song, "Yes, Sir, That's My Baby," please watch very carefully wherever you may be for a dancing caterpillar in your vicinity. Should you see one, call the local authorities immediately. Thank you.
Well, the whole country is searching, but it's no go. Nobody's seen Curly. Oh, the police throw out a dragnet, and posses are formed. Radio stations play, "Yes, Sir, That's My Baby," at intervals all day long. And Curly fans from all over the world send in money for a Find Curly Fund.
I'm privileged as president of the Find Curly Club to announce to the members that the Find Curly Fund has reached the impressive and staggering total of $12,385.14, with the entire South yet to be heard from. Yes, I am positive that every mother's son of you, and yes, every father's daughter, will pledge his or her heart and hand to the one main permanent objective, the Curly may be found.
But nobody finds Curly. And now that he's gone, I begin to realize how much I love that bug. I begin to understand why it was Stinky couldn't bear to sell him to me way back in those happy days. I tell you, I can't stand thinking of willow leaves. I find myself hating all birds and cats. Well, I'm suspicious of all of them. Oh, yeah, and I'm drinking now.
Yeah, what can I get you?
A triple anything.
A triple anything? Are you sure you mean?
Yeah, a triple.
Okay.
Even Stinky tries to drink his way out of his grief.
What do you have, Sonny?
A cup of coffee and make it black.
A cup of coffee? Are you sure you want?
Yeah, black coffee.
Okay.
Oh, meanwhile, sympathizers from all over the world, including Scandinavian countries, send me caterpillars, hoping maybe they have found Curly and are eligible for the reward offered by the Find Curly Fund.
Mister, there's another barrel of caterpillars from Australia. Where should I put them?
Give it to the zoo.
Which zoo?
Any zoo, as long as you get it out of here.
Okay, mister.
Well, days go by, weeks go by. I send Stinky home.
Bye.
Goodbye, Stinky. Well, at least you got a suit out of the deal and a fine automobile and a chauffeur to drive you home.
You'd rather have Curly back again.
Yeah, I know. Well, goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And then one day I'm sitting in my office and I spot Stinky's harmonica in my bottom desk drawer. I begin playing it, and all of a sudden, out from under a picture of the wall, comes Curly. Only he's changed. He's different. He's not dancing anymore. He's a butterfly. Oh, Curly. Hello, Curly. Oh, you're a big boy now, ain't you, huh? Oh. And he flutters his wings a little, and I stroke his antennae, which are now very long and beautiful. And I see he's getting restless for the outdoors, where I suppose he hears the call of his mate. So I sing a farewell to him. Yes, sir, that's my baby. No, sir, I don't mean maybe. Yes, sir, you're my baby now. Oh. Well, he flutters around my head, and then he flies over to a picture of Stinky, and he stares at it. And then he comes back to me, and after taking one long look at me, he flies out the window. Well, I know he'll never come back. I tell you, I feel like crying. In fact, I do cry. Who'd ever think a grown man would bawl about a caterpillar? I did, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the story of my client, Curly.
Radio Studio East, part of American Radio Theater and the Chicago Group, have brought you My Client Curly, adapted by Norman Corwin from a short story by Lucille Fletcher Herman. Our guest star, playing Stinky, was Ivan Curry. The agent and Fatso were played by Randy Larson and Rick Johnston, respectively. Also heard in tonight's production were Barb Alexander, Lindsay Curcio, Phyllis Larson, Karen Lockwood, Deborah Pining, Callie Rosala, and Jackie Wyrick. Sound effects were performed by Marilyn Wilt, Joy Jackson, and sound engineering by Doug Collins. Harmonica was played by Ivan Curry. Musical selections were made by Herb Graham. Directed by Randy Larson and assisted by Karen Lockwood. This is Tom Reeser speaking. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some old-time radio music.
From New York City, we bring you the Life Boy program starring Al Jolson with Parky Carcass and Lud Bluskin and his orchestra, and our special guest stars, Zorina, the Merry Max, and Professor Quiz. And friends, here comes the winning candidate of fun and song, our own Al Jolson.
Hello, everybody, and hello, Tiny.
Hello, Al. You know, Al, you're just the man I want to see.
Really?
You know, we're all going back to California tomorrow, so we're giving a party after the show. But, Al, without you, it just won't mean a thing.
Well, I'm sorry, Tiny. I'd really like to go, but I didn't get any sleep at all last night.
Well, how come, Al?
Well, you see, I was sound asleep when in the middle of the night, a bellboy knocked at my door and woke me up. I said, what do you want? And he said, there's a package downstairs for you, Mr. Jolson. So I said, let it stay there until morning. Well, about 4 o'clock in the morning, I fell asleep again, you know, and I was there dreaming peacefully, the most beautiful slumber I'd ever had, when there was another knock on the door, and I went to the door, and there was the same bellboy. He said, oh, Mr. Jolson, you know that package I told you about? Well, it ain't for you.
Okay, Al, by the way, did you wire the folks at home that you're coming there?
No, but I'm going to tell it to them right now. California, here I come, right back where I started from, where bowers of flowers bloom in the spring. Each morning at dawning the birdies sing and everything a sun dismisses. Don't be late, that's why I can hardly wait. Come on, open up the golden gate. California, here I come. California, here I come. Right back where I started from. Where flowers of flowers bloom in the spring. Each morning at dawning the birdies sing and everything the sun dismisses. Don't be late. That's why I can hardly wait. Open up that golden gate, California, here I come. Thank you. Thank you. We have as our guest tonight one of the most beautiful ladies in the world. Honestly, folks, she's too beautiful for one woman. She should incorporate. She plays the part of the angel in that hit show, I Married an Angel. Really, folks, if I was sure all angels looked like her, well, I'd start getting ready. You know, I'd give up playing casino. I'd cut out smoking corn silk and drinking elderberry wine. Honestly, it would be worth it. Well, I want you to meet the grandest gala I've ever seen her. I mean that gorgeous creature, Vera Zorina.
How do you do and how are you, Mr. Jolson?
Well, you can call me by my maiden name, Albertina.
All right, Albertina.
Ah, Serena, radio is really a wonderful thing. But tonight, honestly, I wish we had television.
Television?
Yes. So all the listeners could see how beautiful you are.
Oh, then they would see you too.
Mm-hmm. Well, that wouldn't be so good. Zarina, really, you know you're the most gorgeous girl I've ever seen. I know. Oh, yes, I'm qualified because I've had my eyes open since I was 6 days old.
If Ruby's listening in, she will close them for you.
Uh-huh. Then you know Mrs. Jolson.
Oh, yes, and I think she's really beautiful.
You said it, but when you talk about beauty, honey, you should see Ruby's sister, Helen. You know, last year she won a beauty contest in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Is she that beautiful?
Well, no, but she was the only one of the contests that had a chest that the words Albuquerque, New Mexico would go across. Oh, by the way, you know Dennis King, you know, in the show, your leading man? He's very, very lucky playing opposite you, really is.
Oh, Mr. King is a very nice man and a very good actor, don't you think?
Oh, he's all right. But, Verena, did you ever see me play love scenes?
No, I haven't.
Why, gal, listen. When I play love scenes, the audience are glued in their seats.
Well, that's a nice way of keeping them in.
What? You know that scene in the play where he hugs you like this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I did it, I'd hug you like this.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And you know that scene where he grabs you and kisses you like this? Well, I kiss you like this.
Oh. But there is no scene like that in the show.
Well, I put it in the show. I'm no fool. And you know, honey, the song he sings to you, you know the one?
Oh, you mean Spring Is Here?
Yeah. Well, here's the way I'd sing it to you. Lud, point a little spring music at Zarina and me, will you? Spring is here. Why doesn't my heart go dancing? Spring is here. Why isn't the waltz romancing? No desire, no ambition leads me. Maybe it's because nobody needs me. Oh, spring is here. Why doesn't the breeze delight me? Stars appear. Why doesn't the night invite me? Maybe it's because nobody loves me. Spring is here, I hear.
You're a fine artist, Mr. Jolson.
Thank you, and so are you. You know that scene in the show where you call the angels?
Yes.
Would you do something for me tonight?
Mm-hmm.
Will you call the angels just like you do in the show? And I'll save 440. You know, look, call them by their names, and maybe they'll come flying in here. Go on, will you call them, honey?
All right.
Please.
Lucinda, Clarinda, Filomena, Rosalina, Sironella, Arabella, Florabella.
Look, believe it or not, here comes somebody flying down. Park your Parker, honey.
Hello, kids.
Parky?
Yeah.
You're just in time to meet one of the most charming guests we've ever had.
Yeah?
Did you ever hear of Zarina?
Sure, I have it every morning for breakfast. Zarina with cream, you know.
No, not Zarina with cream. That's Farina. This is Arena. And between you and me, Parky, isn't she a vision of loveliness and the personification of feminine pulchritude?
Yeah, and she's pretty, too.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Parkyhunters.
Parkyhunters, mm-hmm. Caught between two dialects. Look, Parky.
What?
You know Miss Arena right now is appearing in one of the season's hit plays on Broadway. You've heard about it?
Heard about what?
Heard about what?
Yeah.
I married an angel.
You're lucky. You should see what I got.
Well, no, no, no. Now, look, Pocket. I'm referring to the play called I Married an Angel.
Oh, sure. I've seen the first two acts.
Why not the third act? That one is the best.
Well, the program said third act 2 years later, and I couldn't wait.
Well, don't mind Parkinson. You see, when he was born, he did a terrible thing. He lived.
Oh. Oh, I like him. He has such a sweet, nice, kind, humble face.
Thank you, Miss Zarina.
Other people call me Miss Zarina, but you can call me Zarina.
Oh, that's good. Other people call me Pakiakakis, but you can call me anytime.
Parky, tell me something. What is this power you have over women? What have you got that I haven't got?
A brother on the PWA.
What? Oh, Park, you're so pretty. Look at those eyes, those ears, those lips, those nose.
Zarina, take another look. You forgot those chins.
Yeah. Parky, darling.
Yeah.
I only met you a little while ago, but I'm crazy for you. Today I'm yours.
Yeah, but what am I going to do tomorrow?
Oh, Parker, you're a lucky devil to be liked by an artist like Zarina. Do you realize that she's appeared before the crown heads of Europe? A lady who was commanded to come before the king and queen of England?
What's that? I came before the king and queen of England.
You came before the king and queen of England?
Sure, I came to America 20 years ago. They're not coming till next spring.
Thank you, Zarina. It was a sure swell of you to come here before going through your own performance at the theater. And now I bring, well, one of the finest young swing groups in the country. You hear them every Wednesday night on the Fred Allen Show, and I'm sure my friend Fred has said all the clever things that can be said about these youngsters. And so I give you three boys and a girl who call themselves the Merry Max. They offer their own version of Chopsticks.
Chopsticks, oh chopsticks, there's nothing like chopsticks to help any romance along. Four hands start playing, two heads start swaying, and two hearts start singing a song. If one of us makes any music mistakes, while we're chop, 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 chopping the sticks, no need to get mad, for there's nothing so bad that a couple of kisses can fix. Let's play together and we'll find out whether we'll ever be really in tune. Don't dare to stop till our hearts go pop, pop, while we chop, 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 chop the sticks. Chopsticks, oh, chopsticks. Like chopsticks to help your romance along. Four hands start playing, and two heads start swaying, while two hearts are singing a song. If one of us makes any musical mistakes, while we are chop, chop, chopping the sticks, chop, chop, chopping the sticks, no need to get mad, for there's nothing in the world so bad that a couple of kisses can't fix.
When boys meet girl in close harmony, it's too bad that all people aren't in closer harmony. Why aren't they, Tiny?
Well, Al, I'll illustrate the answer to that question with a series of little scenes entitled Critical Moments in the Lives of People.
How do you do, Miss Lovedale? Bob Jones introduced us one lunch hour last week. I'm John Kempton.
Oh, of course, Mr. Kempton. Excuse me if I rush along. I have an appointment.
Hello, Mr. Spang. I've been trying to get in to see you for months. Oh, yes, Brown. Can you make it some other time? I'm very busy today.
Hello, Mrs. Gates. I haven't seen you in ages. Can't we go to the church supper together tonight?
I'm sorry, I can't go.
And those were three people who were turned down and will never know why, yet the answer is so simple. Each had made a bad impression. That's why any moment when two people are together may be a critical moment for both, for each forms an impression of the other. A bad impression may do untold harm, and nothing certainly makes a worse impression than B.O. Unfortunately, B.O. offenders rarely know when they're guilty. Don't let B.O. ever make a bad impression that may spoil chances for success in romance, business, or friendship. Use Lifebuoy Health Soap with its exclusive ingredient. Lifebuoy in your daily bath stops B.O., assures personal freshness.
Gentlemen, I know that all you folks listening in tonight, especially you mothers and fathers, are familiar with a youngster that continually keeps asking questions. Well, I want you to meet that same youngster grown up, presenting the one and only, the original Professor Quiz.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and how do you do, Mr. Jolson?
How do you do?
How are you feeling tonight? And if so, what's the reason for it? I'll give you 10 seconds on that one.
Now, wait a minute, Professor. Right off the bat, you start asking me questions. But tonight, we're going to reverse that procedure. I'm going to ask you the questions.
I don't answer the questions, I ask them.
Well, I listened to your Saturday night Battle of Wits program. Now, tell me something, Professor. Is it true you know the answers to over 100,000 questions?
Well, roughly speaking, I imagine I have answered about 100,000 questions on my Nima program.
Well, if you know the answer to 100,000 questions, may I ask you just one?
Well, that sounds simple enough. What is the question?
What's Myrna Loy's phone number? Come on, give me that.
Well, I'd like to know that one myself.
You ain't kidding. Now, look. Professor, how would you like to do a great favor to the married men of this nation?
Why, certainly, Al, gladly.
Then let me broadcast your telephone number to all the husbands listening in tonight.
But just what good would my telephone number do you husbands of America?
Brother, listen, when we get home at 5 o'clock in the morning and our wives start popping questions at us, we need somebody like you that knows all the answers. Yes, sir.
That's correct, Justin. Absolutely correct.
Pardon me, Mr. Jolson, but that thing standing there, is it true or false?
I'm sorry, Professor. You'll have to answer that yourself. Parky, that's Professor Quiz.
Well, ain't that a coinkydinky? You know, Quiz is my middle name.
What do you mean, Quiz is your middle name?
Well, when I was born, my father looked down at me, then he looked up at my mother and says, let's call it Quiz. Yeah.
No, the word is quits, quits, not quiz. Now I can readily see why your father wanted to call it quits.
Oh, wise guy, huh? Listen to me, Professor Diz. You know, when you talk to me, you're talking to a fellow that knows all the answers.
Parky,
Try him out with a couple of your questions. Come on, Professor. Maybe that'll shut him up. Go ahead.
All right, I'll try him. Now, are you ready for the first question?
Ready? I'm way ahead of you. I already know the answer. 22 cucumbers.
What?
But I haven't given you a question yet.
Well, that makes me one up on you. Give the second question to Justin. You're too easy for me.
With pleasure. Now, Al, here is your question. If a person from Washington is called a Washingtonian, and a person from Oregon is called an Oregonian, and a person from California is called a Californian, what do they call a person from Vermont?
That's easy. A Republican. You know, and another thing, Mr. Quiz, Jocelyn and me knows the answer to every question in the world.
That's right, Professor. Yes. Any question that I can't answer, Parky can.
Yes, really? Sir. You don't say so.
Yeah.
Well, Al, here's one for you to fool around with. Prove that in a right-angled triangle, the square of the hypotenuse equals the sum of the squares of the other two sides. Well, Al?
I'm sorry, but you see, that's one of the questions Parky can answer.
Oh.
What are you trying to do, Jocelyn? Double do me?
Well, Mr. Pakikakis, I'll repeat that question again for your benefit.
Yeah, but take it slow. Wait a minute. Don't go so fast. Go ahead.
Right. Prove that in a right-angled triangle, the square of the hypotenuse is equal to the sum of the squares of the other two sides. Can you prove that?
I don't have to prove it. I admit it.
Very good, Parky. Very good.
Well, gentlemen, so far your scores are 0-20. Do I dare attempt another question?
Sure. You can't scare us, Professor.
All right. Here goes. Mr. Pakyakakis, yes. I'm going to ask you one of the oldest questions in the world.
Well, you came to the right fella. Go ahead.
All right, Pocky. Which came first, the chicken or the egg?
The egg came first because that's on account of the chicken came from the egg. That's easy.
Yes, but who laid the egg?
That's right, Pocky. Who laid the egg? Come on now. Who laid the egg?
Well, don't look at me. I didn't do it.
Well, all I can say is if you did, you'd be on Ripley's program.
Yeah? Don't kid yourself. There was a lot of eggs laid on this program.
Yeah. Parky, you're self-conscious. Look, Professor.
Yeah.
I've got another question.
Okay, Mr. Jolson, is it a hard one?
Oh, no, this is a very easy one.
Very well, go right ahead.
Yeah, give it to him, Justin. Go ahead.
All right, here it is, Professor. If it takes a cast-iron goldfish with a rubber tail 14 days to swim around a bowl of borscht, how long will it take an electric eel with a short circuit to shoot a matzo ball in the side pocket?
Pull around with that for a while. Go ahead.
There's no use, Professor. There's no answer to that. I was just kidding.
Oh, yes, there is.
No, there ain't.
If it takes a cast-iron goldfish with a rubber tail 14 days to swim around a bowl of borscht,
yeah,
it will take an electric eel with a short circuit 3 times as long to shoot a matzo ball in the side pocket as it would a bow-legged cow to write, "Moving pictures are your best entertainment," with a stick of bubble gum.
That's correct, Professor. Absolutely correct.
You see, boys, there is an answer to every question if you can figure it out.
Is that so? I'll bet you that you can't even answer some of your own questions.
Oh, that's silly, Parky. The man isn't going to give a question if he can't answer himself.
Well, I'll still bet he can't answer some of his own questions.
I guess Parky hasn't much faith in you, Professor.
Nevertheless, I think that I can answer any question that I ask myself.
All right, well, here goes. Professor, have you ever seen a hole dug in the ground by a rabbit?
Yes.
How does the little rabbits ever dig the holes without leaving any dirt around the top?
Now, just a moment. That's not my question, Parky. That's yours. You answer it.
Well, it's easy. You see, they begin at the bottom, and they dig up.
Ah, yes. But how do they get to the bottom in the first place?
Ah, that's your question. You answer it, Professor. How is the four-leaf clover business, old boy?
Well, it's a landslide, Al. The way those requests have been pouring in, it looks as if Dame Luck is mighty popular with a lot of people. I know I feel luckier with a real four-leaf clover in my pocket.
Same here, Tiny. Why don't you remind the folks about the offer while I check over the lyrics of my next song?
All right, Al. Well, friends, the supply is limited, and that's why I want to tell you that this may be your last chance to get your real four-leaf clover in a gold-colored case. The case itself is about the size of a silver dollar, just right for a pocket piece. Each one has a little loop on it so that the girls can wear theirs on a ribbon as a locket. The men can slip theirs on their watch chains. Now, pressed under an unbreakable crystal is an honest-to-goodness four-leaf clover, specially treated, so it'll stay bright and fresh-looking indefinitely. Now then, how about it? Don't you want one of these four-leaf clovers, too? Make a grand present for your sweetheart or for a friend to whom you wish good luck. Well, all right, send for yours tonight or tomorrow. Just send your name and address, together with 15 cents in coin, now no stamps, please, and three Lifebuoy box fronts, not the whole carton, to Lifebuoy, Box 7, New York City. I'm going to repeat those directions. Send them to Lifebuoy, Box 7, New York City, enclosing 15 cents and three Lifebuoy box fronts. Now, if you happen to live in Canada, listen carefully. Here's what you do there. Address Lifebuoy in care of the station to which you are listening and enclose 20 cents, two dimes, with three Lifebuoy box fronts to cover costs, duty, postage, and handling. All right, Mr. Jolson, stage is all yours.
Thank you. Some of the finest music in this land of ours can be found in the Negro spirituals. I've admired these songs ever since I was a boy down in Alexandria, Virginia, where I first heard them. Tonight, I'd like to sing a different type of spiritual, a song written by one of the greatest songwriters of our day, Irving Caesar. The name of the song is, Oh, What a Day That Will Be.
Colored man sings a spiritual when he is feeling sad. Now the white man too needs a spiritual, 'cause things are going bad. So sing, brother, sing. Oh, what a day that'll be, when trouble and woe blow out to the sea. When nations say no, 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 the last was the last time. Let war be a pastime for the devil below. Oh, 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 what a day that will be, when bugles that blow in sweet harmony. But when we find nations walking hand in hand, and every land's the promised land, oh, what a day that'll be. Oh, what a day that'll be, when trouble and woe blow out to the sea. When nations say no, 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 the last was the last time. Let war be a pastime for the devil below. Oh, 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 what a day that'll be. The day that we know the whole world is free. And when there is peace on earth to every man in Europe, China, and Japan, oh, what a day that'll be.
Folks, we have only a few seconds left, but I want to express our appreciation of our guests here tonight. Lorena, the Mary Max, and Professor Quiz. It was a pleasure having them. It's been swell being here in New York, but our visit is over. We're heading home right after the broadcast. So next week, we'll come over this network from Hollywood. I hope you'll be listening, because Martha Ray will be back with us, in addition to Parker Carcass and Lud Gluskin's orchestra. Our special guest star will be that fine Russian screen comedian, Misha Auer. Good night, everybody, and thank you for listening.
Ah, gee, that's all the time I've got for today. Please visit our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more of our podcasts. Hey, see you next time.